Obamacare. Let's go to our live line now and join Dorsey Hager of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. ColumbusConstructionTrades.org is their website. Hey, Dorsey, welcome back to the show and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you, Flash. How is everybody in Cleveland on, I'm sure, what is a bright and balmy, sunny day here on Friday, January the 6th? When I got in my car this morning, I had no temperature.
Zero degrees. I had 8 degrees on mine, and when I got my headphones out, the wires were frozen. I mean, I put them on my head, and my head got cold because of the headphones. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it's one of those days, but at least we're not in the snow belt here. The snow belt's getting hammered again.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I saw that.
Yeah. So you were telling me off the air, you went to that the last Browns game in Pittsburgh. Is that right?
Yeah, I did. And it's kind of a funny story. A good friend of mine, Kyle Reese, we have season tickets in Cleveland. We got the opportunity to get a couple tickets. And, you know, we like to go to Pittsburgh. It's a nice city. There's a lot to do. We've been there several times for Pirate games. And we had never been to Heinz Field, so obviously we jumped on the opportunity. And it was kind of funny. Kyle didn't want to stay. I always want to stay till the end of the game. He didn't want to stay, so he said, "Let's go, you know, across the street. Let's go to the casino. I know this is a family show, so we probably shouldn't be talking about gambling, but he said, let's go to the casino, get something to eat, play a little cards." So we're at a table playing cards, and it's ironic because this whole casino, you know, all the dealers have Steeler jerseys on. Everybody in the casino has Steelers gear on, sweatshirts and stuff. But our table had an orange and brown table. It was all Browns people at our table playing cards. And TVs are everywhere, and they're showing the overtime. And, you know, Landry Jones throws that 41-yard touchdown pass to win the game. And us included, and everybody in Steelers gear just exploded with applause. And this guy behind me, a Steeler fan, looked at me and he goes, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "Guy, we're 1-14. Another win's not going to help, you know. San Francisco is going to lose to Seattle in about 4 hours. We, you know, not sure what we'll do with it, but we would love to have that number one pick. So I'm glad Landry Jones completed that pass. But it was just a funny scene, but it's a good time. Pittsburgh's a great city. Their fans are great. I mean, of course, you know, people always say, "Oh, the opposing fans were so nice. They were so nice." Well, of course, Steeler fans were nice. We had one win, and they're going to the playoffs. What are they not going to be nice about?
Exactly. Plus, they got four Super Bowl wins under their belt. So.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you're lucky you got out of there alive.
Exactly. But it was a great game. It was an entertaining game. It was a good day.
Yeah.
It was sunny. It was in the 40s, and, you know, it's just a really good time, really good time.
Yeah. So. You know, and a lot of people were waiting for big changes to happen in the front office, and thank God they didn't. I mean, they realized there's only one way to go, and that's up.
And you got to have some stability. I mean, you know, we could probably do a whole hour show just on this, but they've got to hit on some draft picks. They've got, I think, $108 million in salary cap space. They've got to bring in a couple of people maybe to help here or there. But the roster needs rebuilt, and you can't put that on one person in the front office or one coach or one position coach. There's just a lot of work that needs to be done on that roster, and I think that they're starting to do it. And a lot of their picks, you know, from the 16 draft got on the field and did pretty well. I mean, when Coleman was in the game and when he wasn't injured, he played well.
Mm-hmm.
Ogbah played well. Carl Nassib played well. So they're hitting on some of their picks, and they're starting to rebuild the roster. It's just going to take time.
Yeah, and what a year
it's
for
take time.
What a year for Terrell Pryor, huh?
Oh, 1,000 receiving yards. That's great. That's
nice.
The guy that they got to dip into that per cap or that cap space and pay and keep him around. I mean, the guy's transformed himself into a pretty good wide receiver.
Ohio State Buckeye. There you go.
Oh, wait.
Okay, buddy. Let's talk about the numbers here. 2016. How was 2016 for the building trades in Central Ohio, and what are we looking at it for 2017?
The building trades in Columbus Central Ohio had a phenomenal year in 2016, and it's just momentum that we're going to try to build on going into 2017. I'm a big numbers guy. I know when we talk on your show, I talk numbers a lot, and I was just looking at some numbers from our 19 affiliated local building trades unions and the hours that they worked in our 9 counties in our jurisdiction, and we're looking for 2016. We're looking at over 4.5 million man hours worked, which is an incredible year, incredible year. And then you translate that into how does that reflect on the unions, the contractors, the membership, and also the community? Because you know, 4.5 million man hours. Those are good paying jobs with benefits and everything. And the health and welfare that was earned in our 9-county jurisdiction contributions was over $35 million. Retirement benefits earned were over $47 million. And then here's a stat that I love, because we talk about safety, we talk about training, we talk about skills and how when you get a building trades member on your job, he's going to be the most safe, trained, the most skilled person on your project. We spent over $3.5 million in education, workforce development, safety, and training this year. So those are just some numbers that I pulled out that I was looking at doing some year-end stuff last week, and we had a phenomenal year. We had a lot of good projects in 2016. One of them, the Honda Paint Booth project, where we have a project labor agreement that's going to roll over into 17 as well. There's still a lot of work to be done there. 2017, we're going to break ground on a UPS expansion on the west side of Columbus. It's going to be about a $135 million job. Got the Franklin County Jail, which is going to be a $175 million job. Got the Franklin County Forensic Science Center. We're looking at about $45 to $50 million job there. We've got a huge paper mill, one county south of Franklin County, Sofadil and Circleville. It's going to be about $350 million. And then I don't know if it'll break in 17, but it's obviously in the planning stages, and maybe it'll be late 17, early 18. We're also looking at a two-cycle gas plant, NTE Energy in Pickaway County, that's going to be right around $950 to $1.1 billion. So that's another big project. So we're just trying to do what we're doing. We're getting out. We're meeting with owners, customers, end users, CEOs. We're marketing. We're working well as a team. You know, I think I've said this before on your show. You know, even though I'm the head of the building trades, a lot of meetings I go to is a team effort. We take other members, other officers, and it's good. It's working out good. We're all pulling in the same direction. We're all rowing in the same direction. And I think our members and our local unions are starting to see some of the benefits from it.
Now, what do you think politically here? I mean, you were really active with 2016 being a presidential year and all that. Anything locally? Because those are usually when you have the muni elections.
We're really blessed to have some good local pro-labor, you know, pro-community people here in Central Ohio. You know, we have a great mayor, Andy Ginther, who just finished his first year, did some wonderful things for the city. You know, his big emphasis is on improving the neighborhoods. And one of his goals is also outreach by the building trades to try to get some of these kids in Columbus and Franklin County in our building trades programs to improve the neighborhoods and the communities they work in by giving them a job and a pathway to the middle class. So he's done very well. We've got a great relationship with him. All three county commissioners, which I got to give some kudos to Kevin Boyce, who was just sworn in Tuesday. I was there, the first African-American county commissioner in the history of Franklin County. Kevin Boyce, Marilyn Brown, and John O'Grady, all three great county commissioners. They work well with the building trades, very pro-labor. And then statewide, we have some really good state reps. We have Kristen Boggs, who most of her area is Ohio State and a lot of Columbus and the short north. Jimmy Hughes, who's went from the Senate to the House. We've talked about him on your show. A great friend of the building trades, huge labor supporter. And then Mike Duffy as well in the State House, Heather Bischoff, Ann Gonzalez. So we've got a lot of good friends here locally that really go to Senator Stephanie Coonsey, who was a big advocate for us and helped defeat the bill to try to ban project labor agreements last year, and was also incredibly helpful on the unemployment compensation reform bill. So I think locally here, I think we've made a lot of headway. I think we've built a lot of relationships. You want to continue to build on those relationships and even reach out some of the newer people that are coming in. We have a state rep on the southwest side of Franklin County, Laura Lanise, her husband is Mike Lanise, who grew up and was raised in Cleveland, was a Rhodes Scholar, played football at Ohio State. But we've got some outreach to do with her and some education, but that's what we're going to do, and we're going to try to do it. But here on the local level, I think things politically are pretty good, and I think that helps us a lot with some of our connections with a lot of these businesses, companies, and stuff like that, and also our outreach and our membership to Columbus 2020 has helped get us to the table as well with a lot of these people. So statewide, I think, is going to be a different issue. We'll see how it shakes out. You know, we've got the budget this year. Obviously, they want to take another crack at unemployment compensation reform. I think that we're going to be at the table and have a lot of those input. You know, we talked last month on the incredible job that Mark Topman from the operating engineers, Matt Salazzi from ACT Ohio, and Matt Smith from the Ohio AFL-CIO did. And I think that they're going to do a great job, and we'll have something that's fair and equitable and helps everybody and moves towards the solvency of that fund. So we'll just see. I mean, we might have to hold on tight here this summer, but we'll see. The House just went back in session Tuesday, so we'll see what's going to happen. But those are my thoughts initially as 2017 kicks off.
You know, there's a story that surfaced today about Kasich addressing redistricting. They did it on a state level by the voters did that. I believe it was 2 years ago. And now they want to do the same thing with congressional districts. He wants to write it into the budget bill. He's going to get some pushback on this, but this would be a step in the right direction. And sometimes Kasich comes out with some surprises here, don't you think?
He does. And, you know, I know Labor's had, you know, in the past, some differences with the governor, but he's been pretty good here in his second term. I think he's done a lot of outreach, and he's been open-minded, and he's listened to our concerns, and we've had a good relationship with him, especially on the building trade side. And I was very – when I read that article in the Columbus Dispatch, it was kind of interesting. And one thing that I'm sure that you know and a lot of people on your show know, that a lot of things that maybe can't get done with House bills or Senate bills or with legislation, a lot of – legislators or even the governor now, it looks like he's going to take a crack at it, try to do in the budget bill, because you know by law the budget bill has to pass.
Right.
So if he can put that in there and garner some support, you know, he's not going to line item veto his own proposal. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, and it's interesting to see how they want to go about, you know, drawing those districts, because in Ohio, right, we have 12 congressional districts, 4 are Democratic, 8 are Republican, and none of them are competitive. If my mind remembers from the election just 2 months ago, I don't think any of the districts are competitive. So they're obviously all 12 pretty gerrymandered.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're very, very safe, and nothing changes and nothing gets done. And that's exactly where Kasich is coming on that one. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
A lot of folks never thought that he'd be able to expand Medicaid. He was able to do that, too.
Even though he took a lot of heat from his own party, he stepped up and did that, which was a good thing. You're right.
All right.
You're right.
Well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about what's happening down in Kentucky. And also, I know you have some thoughts about the passing of Dave Caldwell, well-respected labor leader in the state of Ohio. Dorsey Hager on our live line at the Columbus Building and Construction Trades. Also, Russ Choma of Mother Jones Magazine. Trump's connection with the big banks. Interesting story. It's all part of America's workforce. Back in a few minutes. Don't go away. In order to have a real conversation about our nation's energy needs, it is important to look past the politics and focus on the facts. CleanPowerProgress.org is the online home for the campaign designed to educate Americans about the most practical and cost-effective path to a cleaner energy future. The online resource provides information collected mainly from the Environmental Protection Agency and the U.S. Census, founded by the workers of the Laborers International Union of North America. Clean Power Progress works to educate advocates on the expansion of natural gas. Laborers General President Terry O'Sullivan said it best.
Let's get the discussion about our energy future. Let's have it based in reality. You cannot power this country and still try and meet the goals of the president's clean power plan without natural gas.
To learn more about the energy needs for your state, visit cleanpowerprogress.org.
You won't find more comprehensive coverage of the issues most important to Ohio's labor trades than in the pages of the Labor Citizen. The full-color tabloid is delivered to thousands of union construction workers each month, providing reports from local unions, interesting feature stories, and news that impacts Ohio's union construction industry. But the only way this valuable monthly publication can be delivered to your mailbox is if your local union decides to join. If your building trades union membership is not receiving the Labor Citizen, ask why at your next regular meeting, or send an email to info@laborcitizen.com.
America's workforce is being brought to you in part by the Communication Workers of America.
The AFL-CIO is a proud sponsor of America's Workforce Radio. United by efforts to raise wages, listeners to this show and workers all across America are beginning to turn a corner and drive the economic debate. The AFL-CIO is comprised of 12.5 million working people from 56 unions, but we stand with and fight for everyone who is working for a better life. For more information about our Raising Wages agenda, go to aflcio.org.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to America's Workforce, broadcast from Ohio for workers around the entire world and archived on awfradio.com. Let's go back to our live line. Rejoin Dorsey Hager of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. ColumbusConstructionTrades.org is a website. All right, Dorsey, tell me what's happening in Kentucky. I did get an email the other day from the Federation down there. And they're indicating that, I guess, laborers and all working folks are under assault. Didn't get all the details, but what can you fill me in on here?
It's an incredible assault just in the first week that they've started their new session. Of course, Matt Bevin, the governor, is a pro-right-to-work governor. He's an anti-labor governor in the state of Kentucky. And last year, he tried to get right-to-work passed. He got it out of committee. He got it passed in the Senate. Both the committee and the Senate were controlled by Republicans. And in the House, the Democrats had a majority, and he was unable to get it passed out of the House, so it stalled. Well, this year, with a Republican supermajority in the House, a Republican majority in the Senate, and then, of course, him being the governor, he didn't waste any time. And on Tuesday, they started having committee hearings. Yesterday, which was Thursday, so less than 3 days, it was voted out of committee along a party-line vote. The House has voted on it. And they've, you know, passed right to work in the House. And then they're going to have an emergency, what they're saying is an emergency hearing. They're saying this is emergency legislation that's needed right away for the welfare of state Kentucky. So they're going to have an emergency Senate hearing on Saturday where it's expected to pass. And then he could sign it as early as Monday morning. And they've even named it House Bill 1 because the Republican legislature led by the Republican Governor Matt Bevin have said that this is the number one priority for the Commonwealth. So House Bill 1 is right to work. And everything that I researched yesterday on the internet, because a good friend of mine, we served as business managers for the insulators. He's the business manager in Louisville, Kentucky, Mike Hickey, very politically active. He's been going to Frankfurt. He's been sitting in the hearings. He's been going to the meetings. He's been meeting with legislators and everything I've read and everything he's told me is that unfortunately it's not, you know, It's not how, but it's going to be when, and it's probably going to be Saturday, and it'll probably be signed Monday morning. So it's terrible for the state of Kentucky, but right to work is coming, and again, we've talked about it on the show in the past. Our island gets a little smaller. You know, we're surrounded by right to work states.
Oh, I know. Michigan, Wisconsin, Indiana, and you're saying Kentucky, West Virginia, I believe, is right to work as well.
West Virginia as well.
Yeah.
And one little side note, I mean, right to work is terrible. Right to work is absolutely terrible, and this is going to be terrible for the working people in the Commonwealth. But another thing that was voted out of the committee, and I tried to research it, and I couldn't find the House bill number. Another thing that the committee voted out that got a lot less fanfare and a lot less notice, and it hasn't went to the House yet, is the abolishment of prevailing wage. You know, in Kentucky... Kentucky did away with prevailing wage in schools, I believe, in 1986. And then the legislature revisited it, saw that they were having a lot of out-of-state contractors coming, bringing transient workers and taking wages that were taxpayer dollars, because their schools obviously are funded by taxpayer dollars, and taking those wages and benefits out of the state. And it was hurting the local economies. So they reversed their decision. They got prevailing wage back in the schools to go along with prevailing wage on everything else that was funded by the state. And it's been good for the state of Kentucky. Well, Matt Bevin's opinion is that prevailing wage rises costs and spends taxpayer dollars unwisely. And he wants to do away with prevailing wage. And that committee has got a prevailing wage bill to abolish prevailing wage in the Commonwealth. And again, along party lines, they voted that out. So after right to work, I think next week, that's the second thing they're going to take a crack at.
Holy smoke. So they'll bring all the shoddy contractors down.
Yes.
Oh, my.
And I remember in apprenticeship school, and I remember in history, we took history in apprenticeship school. You know, one of my teachers said to me, you know, what you gain at the bargaining table, you can quickly lose at the ballot box. And that's exactly what's happening there in Kentucky. You know, that's exactly what's happening there. They tried to get out to their members. They tried to do the best that they could to hold on to that, you know, Democrat, that labor-controlled House there in Kentucky and the House of Representatives, and they were unable to do it. The Republicans took over the House, which was a surprise to many, but I think they followed that Trump wave, and And now this is the benefits. That's what's happening. The Republicans are going to do what they want to do, and they're going to do it right away. And right to work is first, and it looks like the abolishment of prevailing wage is going to be right next on the track next week. So I'll keep you updated, and we'll see what happens. But I know my guys down there are scrambling. Like I said, Mike Hickey's a very good friend of mine, the business manager in Louisville, and I know he's just up in arms. Can't believe to see that this is happening.
Yeah, and lightning fast, too. To make this a priority, to attack workers. I mean, they're attacking workers and making that a priority. We'll go figure that one out.
And that was some of the things that were talked about in the hearings. I mean, you know, Medicare expansion, workforce development training, job creation. You know, those are the things that they should be talking about to improve people's lives.
Right.
To go after people's paychecks makes absolutely no sense because, I mean, we've went through it several times on your show, and everybody knows the ills of right to work. In right to work state, the first things that happen is wages and benefits go down because the worker is not represented and all the power goes to the company.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens. That's what's going to happen in Kentucky. You know, that's what's going to happen in Kentucky. It's a sad day.
And workplace injuries go up, too.
That's right. Workplace injuries go up because, you know, we just gave the year-end numbers for the Columbus Building Trades. We spent over $3.5 million in training. That's all money that comes from our members that they agree to take out on an hourly, you know, hourly contribution to pay towards safety and training that benefits the industry. So if you cut into those wages and those benefits, you know, one of the initial cuts is going to be into safety and training. And who's going to pick up the other stick? Is the state going to pick up that? Are workers' comp benefits going to go up? Are injury accidents going to go up? Are health care costs going to go up? That's usually what happens in right-to-work states where you have less skilled, less safety-trained workers who are out on the job sites.
Yeah.
So it's very unfortunate.
And the quality of life in those states goes down. You take a look at every one of those right-to-work states, and you'll see that to be the case. That's so That's so sad. Shame on those lawmakers. Shame on them.
Yeah.
All right. One more here, and that's Dave Caldwell. We talked about this on the show with Tim Berger the other day. What a shocker, huh? Maybe you I would imagine that you had a pretty close relationship with him.
Very close with Dave. Worked very closely with him, very tight. And the thing is, we had a great working relationship since I've taken over as a building trade 3 years ago. We had a great working relationship. Worked on a lot of issues. Worked on a lot of outreach together, both locally and statewide. We were big supporters of Mayor Ginther, helped him out in his campaign. And I just grew to be a good friend of Dave's. And Dave told you what he thought. You know, Dave was very adamant. He was union through the core. He was a hell of a labor leader. He was well-known and well-respected statewide. And I tell you, you know, Walt Workman, we talked about this on your show last month, Walt Workman was planning on retiring February 1st, and we were going to, you know, get Dave Caldwell in that spot to continue the work of the Central Labor Council and grow on what Walt has done in his career here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was going to work out great. And we had a meeting, myself, a couple other building trades members had a meeting with Dave Caldwell Wednesday afternoon. And, I mean, I was with him up until 4 p.m., and then the next day at home was when he had his tragic accident. And then the day after Christmas, he passed from his injuries. He was unable to recover. But I tell you, I mean, we were so excited and looking so forward after that meeting and towards 2017. And then the next day, I mean, it was horrible. It was a shocker. It was terrible. So everybody's feeling the effects. I went to his showing last week, and boy, the place was packed. I mean, like I said, Dave had a lot of friends both sides of the aisle, Democrats and Republicans, a lot of labor leaders, a lot of labor friends. Touched a lot of people in his 65-year life, and he's going to be sorely missed. Labor definitely, you know, lost somebody that was a big asset to us here in Columbus and Central Ohio and throughout the state.
Yeah, I got that sense from Tim as well. I didn't know him. I never had him on the show, but it sounds like this guy had quite an impact, especially in your neck of the woods and a good chunk of Ohio for what he's done over the years. What a way. I mean, this just shows you how quick life can change, you know?
Absolutely. And I tell, you know, my friends, my family, my wife this every day. I mean, we talked about 2016 and, you know, there was a lot of loss and a lot of, you know, thank goodness that year's over and hopefully 2017 will be brighter, but you never know. You got to cherish every day, make the most out of every day you have with friends and family and try to make a difference here. To help the people around you, you know, that's what you got to do.
Absolutely.
Make the most of every day.
Well, you be safe, my friend, and keep up the fight down there. Let's hope some of that Kentucky stuff doesn't find its way in the state of Ohio.
Boy, you're not kidding. And let's continue to pray and hope for the best for our labor friends in the Commonwealth. But unfortunately, it's not going so well right now.
Okay. All right. You take care, my friend. We'll talk to you in a month, all right?
All right. Sounds good. Thank you so much, Flash.
Dorsey Hager, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, columbusconstructiontrades.org. Yeah, I can.